Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast. Hello and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm Sherry.
And I'm David.
And today we are finishing what we started talking about last time, which is, yay, healthy couples and things that healthy couples do that make their relationship strong, that build trust and commitment, and ways that they invest in relationship.
Because where is the grass greener?
Yes. It's not on the other side.
No, it's not. It's where you water it. So let's talk about how to water it.
Yes.
Five ways to invest in your relationship. Let's jump right in. And feel free to write these down. Mm-hmm. They are really good to think about. The very first one we want to talk about is turn towards bids for connection. So bids for connection is this idea, again, by Gottman. This is what we've been talking about.
All of this is Gottman.
Really, really good things. Bids for connection refer to attempts by one person in the partnership to connect in some way.
Yes.
We don't always recognize bids for connection.
Yeah.
But there's a lot in relationships.
Yeah. So it's not always something like, let's go on this lavish date.
Or give me a big hug.
Yeah. Or let's have sex or something like that. It can be tiny little things like, you know, glancing at your partner and, you know, giving them an inside joke look over across the room.
Right.
Or paying attention to something that needs redoing that they always have to, that they typically do. Like maybe refilling the soap dispenser might be something that one of you typically does. And the other person is just like, oh, I'm just going to do that really quick.
Definitely think like love languages. Mm-hmm. There's words of affirmation. There's acts of service. There's time. There's affection. There's lots of things.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
And I don't think what you're saying is like, look for their love language. And that's the way necessarily to only do bids of affection. I think you're just saying in general, look at all of these love languages, because bids of affection they're throughout all of them.
Right, right. So there's lots of different ways to bid for connection. Interestingly, Dr. Gottman, you know, this love lab that couples would come and stay in, they would actually document and catalog everything. So he had a way with his graduate students to identify what would be considered a bid for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And to mark if it was successful or if it wasn't. In other words, if the partner turned towards their spouse after a bid for connection, or if they turned away. And
so what you're saying is one of them makes a bid for connection, even if maybe neither of them necessarily recognize that that's what they were doing.
Yep.
And then the other person like acknowledged it or turned towards.
Responded positively. Yes.
As opposed to not responding. Right. Okay.
Yep. Good clarification, because bids for connection can be a little tough to understand. What would constitute a bid for connection, for example?
Right.
But any attempt for some sort of connection, interaction, obviously something as simple as, hey, how are you doing? This is a bid for connection. But there's lots of different ways that we attempt some kind of interaction with each other.
Right.
And a lot of this can be body language, obviously. So they had their work cut out for them. For sure. And I doubt it was an exact science, but some interesting findings.
Yes.
Not surprisingly, couples that stayed together turned toward each other or each other's bids for connection 86% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas couples that eventually divorced did it 33% of the time. That is a huge difference. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
86% to 33%.
Yeah, that is a really big difference.
That they would turn towards each other. Now, again, you can say, well, what does that mean exactly? But I think the idea alone is enough. If your partner is attempting some kind of interaction, some sort of connection, what do we do with that? First of all, do we even recognize it? Yes. Are we so busy, so distracted, we're just kind of indifferent? Maybe we blow it off. Right. Something to think about. Because what if most of their bids for connection are not being returned?
Yeah. Yes.
If these bids fail, and some will always fail, right?
Right. Yeah, we're never going to be 100% for each other.
If they fail, what we try to do is repair. And repair attempts are sort of the secret weapons of emotionally intelligent couples.
Yes.
And one of the things I love with couples that have just been in recovery, let's call it, for a long time. I think we talked about this maybe a couple of episodes ago. Mm-hmm. One of the things they do really well is they communicate a lot.
Yes.
And they don't let little things slide.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we're talking about, repair attempts. And so emotionally intelligent couples just say, hey, I'm kind of feeling this. What are you feeling? Was that meant to be this? This is kind of how you came across. How are you feeling right now? Are we good? Are we not good? What was that for? They're just communicating a lot.
Right. Because just like you were saying, these bids for attention and connection, you may not, neither of you may be even recognizing them as that thing, right? And so if the other person doesn't even know that that's what you were trying to do, right? Then, and you're not communicating that, then how is a repair attempt even remotely possible,
right?
If they were just kind of in their own heads, came in from work, sat down, did their thing, but you're, you know, you were trying to connect with them and say, how was your, you know, or do something nice for them.
Yep.
They may not have recognized it if you had, you know, gotten a water bottle together for them, or just, you know, they may just be in their own world. But if you don't communicate that, then repair attempts aren't possible. So communication, right? We can't say that word enough.
Yeah, definitely.
So the second one we want to talk about is flipping your internal script.
For a lot of reasons, but here's some.
Yes. So when you have negative thought patterns, right, that causes you to miss about 50% of your partner's bids, according to research by Robinson and Price. So that is going to make it difficult to build trust if you are running this negative script.
But we've all had experience with this, right?
Oh, totally.
Where we're trying to engage, but the other person is distracted or they're just not picking up on it.
Yeah.
And if these are negative thoughts that's causing you to miss this, it's going to have an impact on the relationship.
For sure. Well, and we talk about it in my therapy sessions. We talk about it as like, what's the story you're telling yourself about what just happened?
Yep.
Right. And so if you're running these again, we, you know, we talked in the last episode about the concept of negative comparisons. And if you're running a negative comparison script, right, for example, you're going to miss what they're doing. They may reach out to you and you may see that as, oh, well, they're just doing that because blah, blah, blah.
Maybe they feel bad or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. They're just trying to get something from me or, you know, something like that, instead of recognizing the actual bid for connection that they're trying to make.
Yep.
So it's hard to build trust if you're missing those bids and you're not engaging.
And I have heard this before because I have many, many times given the homework specifically, okay, what you're doing this week, I want you to focus on more bids for connection.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, if I ask your spouse, they'll say, oh, yeah, this is what I'm seeing. It's more than normal.
Yeah.
And what I'll hear often is, I am, they're not being received. And then we can talk about that. But so you see the importance of receiving bids for connection and how sad in a relationship if they're not.
Yes. It's really important to learn to separate your specific relationship problems from the overall view of your partner. Like,
hold on a sec. Say that again.
Say that again.
That is such a big, important concept. Pay close attention.
It really is. We need to learn to separate specific relationship problems from the overall view of our partners.
Yes.
This is the what you do versus who you are, I feel like, concept, right? Like, and that's what we talk about. I mean, we've done episodes on this with, worth, right? Personal worth, right? We're not human. We're human beings. We're not human doings, right? It's our worth is not connected to what we do, right? And if we are doing this with our partner, we're kind of throwing them under the bus and we're like, well, you know, this is the relationship issue. These are the things here and there that you're doing. We're missing that overall.
Right.
This is who you are. This is the overall view I have of you. You are a wonderful person that sometimes forgets to take the garbage out.
This is so true. I can tell you from personal experience, to my everlasting shame, I absolutely missed a more positive view of my partner because I was getting stuck on little things. As if these little things or little problems actually were my partner, or accurately defined most of them or all of them. And it's been a big waste of time and it's been hard on the relationship. So this is definitely true and something that I want you to really think about.
Yeah. Really make an intentional effort to replace negative thoughts with compassion, with empathy.
Yes.
With understanding, right? Go back to those empathy skills. Go back to like being aware of what their experience might be, and really them as a human being.
So along the same lines, the next one is to ritualize cherishing. So the best way to keep yourself from making these negative comparisons is just to actively cherish your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Intentionally, deliberately, on purpose, like everything we talk about in here, like the dailies, like whatever. Everything good in life will come from just consistently doing little things. And this is one of these really important little things we want you to do. So get in the habit of thinking positive thoughts about each other rather than thoughts about someone else, or even just thoughts about the negative parts of them or things that they do that's hard.
Right. Yep. Think about what you appreciate about them.
Right.
And tell them, right? Yes. Like how wonderful it is it when someone is like, oh my gosh, I just totally love this about you. It feels good coming from a stranger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But think about how that consistently would build relationship and trust and love if you're consistently doing that with your partner, right? Thank them for being adventurous. Thank them for being an amazing cook. You know, thank them for being a good parent, right? Look at these little things and just what can I appreciate? And I think sometimes people get in a, oh, well, you know, it's just things they should be doing.
Right. Oh, I hear that all the time. Yes. And I'm like, oh, you're missing opportunities.
Yeah, that's not what this is about. Right. This isn't about like, oh, well, we should never say anything about what someone is should do. Like, what are there people that don't do those things? Yeah, so maybe like appreciate the fact that they're doing it.
and will it encourage them to continue the thing? Yes. If they feel appreciated or not.
Yes.
So if we want it to continue, this was always a funny, I heard this in graduate school, where if you want someone to start doing something, compliment them like they're already doing it.
I heard that too.
And they'll start doing it.
Did we go to the same school?
No, yeah, we did. So. So start to compliment someone for something, even if they scratch their head and go, when's the last time I did that? What are they talking about here? It's like, I just love that. It's like, you'll start to see it more. Absolutely. So.
Yeah. I think just paying it, and you don't even, I think even need to jump into the space of like talking about things they're not even doing. There are so many things that they're doing. I mean, can you imagine as a provider coming home and hearing every day, oh my gosh, thank you for like going to work every day. Like that sucks. Like no one wants to do that all day, every day. Like I really appreciate that you do that. And in return hearing, wow, I feel like your job is way harder staying with kids climbing all over you and you never get appreciation. Thanks for taking
care of everything at home. I have no worries about anything happening here because of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if that was something you heard like every day?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that would be amazing, right? But don't just stick with that. Like, look at the other things, right? Like, branch out. But Yeah, look for all those positive thoughts and communicating that appreciation. Ritualize cherishing.
Which is just fancy speak for getting the habit of being appreciative and complimenting and letting them know. Really cherish them.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is to learn to fight smarter. I love this because I think Gottman talks a lot about how it's not that happy couples or successful couples don't fight.
Right.
They just do it in a healthy way.
Right.
They do it in a healthy and effective, a smarter way. So what you want to do when you fight, you can complain without blaming the other person.
Complain without blame.
Yes. Talk about what they feel, what they need. These couples do, not what they don't need, if that makes sense. So
right.
I don't think I said that very well, but like they need to, you need to work together and talking about your feelings.
What you need.
And what
you feel.
Yeah. What you need in the relationship and not about like what you don't need.
Right.
Stop. Which is if someone's going, oh, what do you mean? That's like, stop doing blah, blah, blah. I hate it when you da-da-da. Right. It's this very negative approach to the problem solving, right? Instead of saying, oh, like, it would really help me if you did this, right?
Right.
It's the same thing. It's like, instead of, I hate it that you don't take out the trash, it's, it would really mean a lot if you could take out the trash,
yep.
Right? It's that reframe of how you're doing it where you're not blaming, you're working on what you need and what you're feeling. It's much more gentle and it gives your partner the information, oh, this is something they love. This is, it's like a recipe to be successful.
Right. Right. And you've heard this before, use I feel statements,
mm-hmm.
not blaming kinds of things. I feel tired and worn out when the garbage seems to be full all the time. What I would like, what I want is more help so I feel better, not so tired, not so worn out. That's going to be a completely different message, almost like where they want to step up and save you and help you and
show up for easier. You, yep. Maybe, is a good way to, yeah, show up. And I think a great thing to do is to have a weekly
companionship inventory.
Yeah.
We've talked about this too.
Yep. Yep. I love this. It all connects, right? So that you can discuss areas of concern where you can discuss those things. Again, this all goes back to the communication. Communicate, communicate, communicate. What is it that I need? What am I noticing this week? And this is possible, and it makes it so much more effective in a relationship because you've already been doing the 5-to-1 ratio, which we talked about last time, of making sure you're doing those 5 positives to every negative, where you've been ritualizing these cherishing, where you have been turning towards those bids for connection. Each of those are those positive check marks. So then when you sit down and you say, okay, things are amazing, and also this thing is a concern for me, or I'm feeling worn out in this area.
Right.
It changes everything about the dynamic of the relationship, and it's possible. If you are nagging each other and you're building resentment all week and you don't turn toward each other and you are saying all these negative things, then you want to sit down and have a meeting where you talk about things you'd like to have change, right? It doesn't
bring your gloves.
Feel great. Yes. It doesn't typically go
and
well.
You know, a really cool thing with that too, we've talked about companionship inventory before. If you know that you're going to have an opportunity to share something that's hard, yes. It's a lot easier during the week to not talk about things that are hard or to bring up things that are hard or to notice things that are hard. You know you have an opportunity coming to say, hey,
yes.
I notice that this is, you know, a real challenge for me. It's coming and you know it's coming. And so you can kind of relax more during the week.
Kind of set it on the shelf.
Right.
And then focus more on the positives in the meantime. Yes, I love that. It's interesting how it's kind of this spiral up as yep. opposed to a spiral down.
Yep. Finally, and in my book, the most important, time.
Yep.
So many couples come in and they're not spending any time together, and they both justify it away because we have kids and sports and this and that and everything is happening. I'm like, but how are you feeding the relationship then?
Right.
Create we time. We have a million excuses for why we're not dedicating time to the relationship. We love each other. You know, we're just busy. We're this, we're that. We work a lot. Crazy. The kids. Yeah. It's fair. It's all true.
It's yes. Yes.
You're not going to make more time in a 24-hour day, but you have to create time for the relationship.
Yes.
So dates where you can actually ask each other open-ended questions. Go. Remember what those were? They're the things you did when you dated?
Yes, yes.
You continue to create rituals of connection that allow you to connect emotionally, and it's... probably the most important investment in the relationship you can make.
Yeah. It's not, happiness doesn't come as a result of getting something you don't have. It's recognizing and appreciating what we do have.
That's good.
And leaning into that. And making, but if you're creating that we time, that's what you're doing.
Right.
You're recognizing, exactly. You're appreciating, you're prioritizing the things that you do have, and that creates more happiness.
It really does. Think, I want my spouse to feel like I've chosen them every single day.
Yes.
Do your best not to let a day go by where they don't feel chosen. I'm not talking you writing them, you know, a 3-hour poem.
Right.
Something very simple. You come home from work, you go straight to her. I don't care what she's doing. You make sure you give her a hug and a kiss, because you're basically saying, I see you. I remember you. You're important to me. Right. Whatever else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So choose each other every single day.
Yes. Great thoughts. Great ideas. Gottman's fabulous. We love him. We love both of them.
And I really enjoyed an episode of good things talking to positive. Do instead of all these yes. problems. Hopefully it was helpful.
Yes. Get out there and go do it. It's fun. It's fun to always, I mean, I think any relationship, even the best ones, you can always do these things a little more.
Yep.
Strengthen it.
And you'll be glad you did every time.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck. Get out there.
I'll talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.